Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll get back to the State of the Union address on a particular question. One of the most surprising things in the speech was the president calling for nuclear power and offshore drilling. So we will drill down on that and ask if you can warm up to those anti-global warming plans. Is there a Democratic and a Republican way to drill or to develop nuclear power? We'll do that one specifically. But our January weekly series on parenting taboos wraps up now. Rufus Griscom, the founder of Babbel.com, is back with us one more time to talk about the bad parent column on his site and the related book, Dirt is Good for You, True Stories of Surviving Parenthood. So each week this month, we've delved into one of these taboos and have tried to have real conversations about the things we're told we must not say as parents. We've talked about ambivalence, about parenting at all, what parents are not willing to sacrifice for their kids. Can you ever say that? And if it's crazy or not to want six children, and if you can say that out loud. So for our last discussion, we are asking now, is spoiling your kids always such a bad thing? Did he say that? Rufus, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
How do you argue that spoiling your kids isn't so bad after all? And have you had threads like that on Bad Parent?
Yeah, it's you know, discipline and spoiling is a huge subject on Babbel, and I think for parents, I think everybody would agree that there's a right balance of how much to help your kids and not help them, how much stuff to give them or how little to give them, how much to discipline them. Everybody probably has a slightly different answer as to what the right balance is, but I think there is an argument that it is possible for children to be too obedient. And I think this is emerging in a lot of studies about how kids behave over time. And I was very interested in reading Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Outliers, to read about a series of studies of kids in different socioeconomic brackets. And it turned out that that the lower middle class and lower class kids were much more obedient, and they were unspoiled. They were the kind of kids that you'd imagine you'd want in the 50s. You know, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Much less likely to argue with their parents. Upper middle class kids, much more likely to talk back, to negotiate on their own behalf. And the conclusion of the study was that several years later, when the kids got out of college, the upper middle class kids were doing much better because they were better negotiators. They were better advocates for themselves in the world at large. So I think it is possible to over-discipline your kids.
So those upper middle class kids who grew up feeling entitled, arguably being spoiled, therefore were more assertive as adults and therefore more likely to get their way and be successful in the work world. So there's one argument, folks, for spoiling your children. Anyone else willing to jump in on this? Remember, this whole series has been for saying things out loud here on the show that you may not be able to say to your friends. So if you want to call up in defense of spoiling your child, however you define that, now is your opportunity. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You heard the Malcolm Gladwell argument, 212-433-9692. Let's see. Adriana on our Facebook page, having raised four wonderful boys who have never been spoiled because we could not afford it, I will have to say that they never expect anything and work hard for what they want, never just expecting it to be handed to them. Isn't that interesting, Rufus? That's the opposite. I'm sure she wrote that before she heard your Malcolm Gladwell riff. And so for the first time, we're asking, is never expecting anything necessarily a good thing?
Right. Maybe a little bit of entitlement. That's clearly such a thing as too much entitlement, which makes you lazy and you don't work for it. There's clearly a balance here. And I think there's also an argument that maybe 50 years ago, obedience was more highly prized and was a more useful way to interact with the world. You know, there were a smaller number of big companies that ran things, and you wait your turn and you defer upwards. I was very struck by Joe Biden's comment at his mother's funeral, which was very touching for those who saw it or heard it, that he said that his mom had taught them to be respectful but not deferential. And then that I think is exactly the balance that, you know, that Gladwell was speaking to.
Jeffrey and Murray Hill, you're on WNYC. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to say there's different kinds of spoiling. You know, there are parents that buy a lot of things for their kids. The kids want this. I know that when my kid wants something, I have to say no like 20 million times before he gets the hint. But the different kind of spoiling are parents, like in my elementary school, that they're always around. They volunteer a lot. They're in the class. They're at recess. And they're always around their kid. And I think that, you know, a kid needs a little bit of break from their parent. I think school is a great place for that. And they should give the kid a little bit of space. And that's one particular kind of spoiling that I notice. And then the kids are very clingy. They don't want their parents to go. And
Jeffrey, thank you. Rufus, on that, or the larger notion of that there are different kinds of spoiling?
Absolutely. And I think you can certainly do too much for your kids. I mean, my wife and I have found this with our four-year-old. You know, we noticed one day all of his friends were zipping up their own jackets, and we'd been zipping up his jacket every morning, and so he wasn't doing it. And, you know, I think all parents try to find that balance. You know, and I think if you do too much for your kids and if you give them too much stuff, there's the fear that they won't engage in creative play, they won't have as much imaginative play. And maybe they won't learn to defer gratification if they're being gratified constantly. So a counterargument is that, you know, there's a famous marshmallow test where they put kids in a room and they gave them a marshmallow and they said, if you don't eat this marshmallow, we'll come back in 5 minutes and give you two marshmallows. And the kids who didn't eat the marshmallow ended up being, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, much more successful.
Right, and there are other ways to look at it too. Should you let your kids win at board games? Might seem mean to beat them, but could letting them win create a sore loser or somebody who doesn't expect to win? What about cooking? Should you tell your kid to suck it up and clear the plate no matter what's on it? How many Brussels sprouts you drop on there? Or should a parent cook the food their kid asks for? You know, are picky eaters spoiled if we cater to them? All these are different questions that come into spoiling. And Annie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Annie.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I just had a question about sort of the setup of this study, because you mentioned earlier on in the show that, you know, later on in life, the children that had been more disciplined, who were from a lower economic class, ended up not being as good as negotiators, et cetera. And I was just wondering how race figured into this whole study, because, you know, I work a lot with children, and if you're looking 20 years down the line at a child's success or failure as a mark of how they were disciplined or their economic status, like, at what point isn't it a race issue instead?
Do you have a theory?
I actually just was more curious about how the study was set up.
Right. Okay. Do you know, Rufus?
Yeah, I don't remember anything about race in that study, but I think it's a great question.
And something we'd have to look into further. And listeners, post to our comments page for this segment if you think race plays into this in particular ways. At WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Continue the discussion there. And Ayana in Iowa City, are you listening in Iowa City?
I am indeed. Well, I'm in school here, so I actually am a New Yorker, so I always listen to WNYC.
That's
on
great.
I stream it.
I'm so glad. So what are you thinking?
Well, I had a comment and a question. First, the first question was kind of piggybacks on what the woman said about race, but we already know we don't quite know the answer to that. But I thought that it's this notion of teaching children to be Joe Biden's mother saying, you know, his mother taught him to be respectful but not deferential. I think that's the way to go. And then the second thing, particularly about the Malcolm Gladwell thing, is that it seems a little tiny bit specious to me, because if you're going to say that children who are upper middle class are kind of faring better in the world later on, I don't know that you can attribute that to the spoiling so much as perhaps it could be attributed to the fact that these are kids that are starting out already with a great deal of privilege in the world. So that logic just seemed a little bit specious to me.
Rufus?
Well, and it's something that in the chapter, and this was it was one of these longitudinal studies where they spent a lot of time with a small number of kids, and they looked at very specific behavior patterns, like the upper middle class kid, when he went to the doctor, would ask the doctor questions and would engage in certain ways, and then you'd see that kind of willingness to engage with authority figures later on, you know, benefiting him. So that was the argument of that study. But I certainly agree with you. You got to look for those correlations.
Ayana, thank you. Oh, look, Duval and Poughkeepsie saying, yeah. I was a spoiled child, right?
That's correct.
And how were you spoiled?
Well, you know, I'm 23 years old. I'm still in college, and I definitely benefited from a mother who acquiesced to many of my desires and demands. And I think that it gave me a lot of space to be more creative and not have to worry about a lot of the concerns that children who might not have been as spoiled or not as taken care of would have had to deal with. So I think there's a benefit to, you know, indulging a lot of your child's desires.
But take me one more step into how you were spoiled. Can you give me an example of when you look back?
Well, you know, very trivial things in retrospect, but, you know, getting the latest video game, having a nice computer when computers weren't a necessity, you know, having an old 486 computer with the latest game on. I think that gave a lot of flexibility in my life.
Dubal, thank you very much. Rufus, anything on that? You know, some parents fear they're creating a mama's boy or a daddy's little girl, giving them things. Emily Mandel wrote a post for Bad Parent that you may remember about overindulging her son. She would put their clothes in the dryer for a few minutes every morning to warm them up. And when she didn't do it one day, the kids whined about their room temperature pants, and she realized she could creating what she called mama's boys, who might expect women to do things for them and take care of all their needs.
I love that. I love that story. She suddenly imagines her son at age 30 waiting for his wife to warm up his clothes in the morning in the dryer because you can't go out without them. And I think it's clearly something that all parents struggle with is that fine line between doing too much and too little. And with that, you know, gentleman who was just on the phone, you know, 23 years old, having enjoyed a lot of indulgences from his mom, the thing you wonder about as a parent is, of course, the world will unspoil you. You know, you graduate from college, and the world's no longer organized around your happiness and your edification.
Or you go to college, and if your mother picked up all those clothes that you strew all over your room every day, your roommate's going to bark at you. Teresa in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. I just want to comment that I think spoiling is really socioeconomically relative. I mean, I grew up in a lower middle class household where actually children were to be seen and not heard, but my mother did everything for me. So when I went to college, I was really handicapped, and I literally didn't even know how to do laundry or balance a checkbook. And being now in a professional class household, I try to raise my children in what I think is a much more enlightened way, and following the Malcolm Gladwell argument, I totally let my children negotiate with me. And we joke that, you know, my daughter is a little lawyer in training, and I really encourage that. And my mother is horrified when she watches this. She sees this and she's just overcome in disbelief that I allow them to dialogue with me about, you know, which vegetable to eat and how to solve problems. And that's why I really think, you know, what's one person spoiling is another person's deprivation or really detriment to a child. It's really the socioeconomic relative position.
Rufus?
And there's a big generation gap, and I think a lot of parents have the exact experience you're describing. My wife and I have it. When my mother comes over, she has the same reaction. How why do you let your child, you know, your son argue with you like this? And you also see it in changes in formality that people have. On some radio shows, I've had people call in and say, you know, kids today, they don't call me Mr. So-and-so, they call me John, and that's disrespectful. And that's changing. I think culture is changing. Teachers are starting to have kids call them by their first names, and a lot of older generations are taken aback by this and see it as a sign of spoiling. But I think it's just the way the world's changing.
Teresa, thank you. Adriana on our Facebook page, if by spoil you mean giving your kids whatever they want and letting them call the shots, the most important answer is that it breeds anxious children. Kids who are used to getting their way start to feel that they're actually in charge, and that's a big responsibility for a kid. I think I've seen that out in the world. And S. Brand from Maplewood writes, for a child that needs structure, no rules at all will definitely spoil them. For a child that is timid and too obedient, discipline can break their spirit. So we've just got 30 seconds left, Rufus, but that last comment suggests that there are different kinds of kids who need different kinds of treatment on the no-spoil spectrum.
It's a great observation. I think it's absolutely true. Yeah, I mean, they're obstreperous kids who really need to be reined in order to interact successfully in the world.
Often they're that way because they were spoiled.
Right, maybe so. And they're timid kids who need with whom you have to be a little more careful.
And that is where we're going to leave it. Oh, my goodness, the callers. Continue this on our webpage because we could do this for about 6 weeks and not run out of callers on this one. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Rufus Griscom is the founder of Babbel.com. They've got the Bad Parent column where people talk about these taboos all the time. His book is Dirt is Good for You. And what a great series. People have been reacting to this so well, the idea of having these conversations that have been taboo. So, Rufus, thank you for your work, and thank you for doing this with us for 4 Thursdays in January.
Thanks so much, Brian. It's been great.